Wake Up Call on WTLS, 7 o'clock on this Monday morning. Battlesea High School head football coach and athletic director Mike Battles is here. The principal of the high school, Chet Stewart, is here. And Brock Nolan, the acting superintendent. Appreciate you all being here. Good morning to each and every one of you.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in. And, you know, we've had a lot happening over the last week in addition to trying to get ready for football season. And Brock, I'll let you start. You and I talked some Friday about what's coming up with football and what we're going to do at J.E. Hollabrine Stadium, which we do control in Tallahassee, on seating. So I'll let you kind of go over that. I know people have seen some of the stuff that's been put out there already.
Yeah, sure. After reviewing what was put out by the Alabama High School Athletic Association, I watched two of their webinars where Coach Savarese made it explicitly clear that the home team governs how fans attend their stadium, what rules are going to govern the stadium. And one of the biggest things he said is make sure that there's equity between the home team and the visitor team. And, you know, I've seen one of your stories, and, you know, for years, even living in this community for years, people say that stadium will hold 5,000 people. Well, that's just not the case. I went up there and measured it, Dr. Free and I. And
based I think, on, and I'll stop you there because I checked on this. That's like 18 inch per seat.
Yeah, it is.
Seating. Like, that's what they measure when they do a stadium.
Yeah. That's right. Whenever, right. When an architect sells you a building or whatever it is,
right.
They're going to put it on that. Like, can you fit in an 18 inch seat comfortably, Michael?
If I'm sideways,
if you're sideways, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, whenever we measured it, said I'm an average size man. It takes 25 inches for me to sit comfortably. And that's what the metric was based off of. Like we're sitting here talking about 6 foot distance for social distancing. You know, even, you know, that's not a reality either, even going half capacity. So where do we land? We landed at about 2,200, you know, capacity, 1,100 per side. And, you know.
Now, I, looking at the stadium diagram, and you went out and did your homework. You went and measured everything and got the figures that you came up with. That's roughly close to 1,000, a little over 900 on the old home side, now the visitor.
Right.
And the home side is 2,200. So it brought you to about 3,200 with that 25-inch per seat number,
right.
Including the reserve seats, which are different than that.
Yep.
You know, doing equitable seating, 1,100 and 1,100, obviously puts as many people on the visitor side if they sell all of the tickets as they can seat. So kind of explain where we are with that if we're worried about, oh, golly, we're going to have, you know, problems with spreading people out. Obviously, it'd be jam-packed on the visitor side if they sell every seat.
Well, on the old home side, our visitor side, they'll have the opportunity to spread out along the fence as they so often do. You know, whenever we have big games at home, they'll get out of the stands and spread out. Also, Mr. Glasscock and their band director in conversation about possibly moving their band to the south end zone, just like our band's going to be. And that's going to provide them roughly, you know, 60 more spaces for their fans. And really, it's up to Tom Cochran and Matt Johnson and what they want to do with their fans. They'll have a disclaimer. We're giving everybody a disclaimer. This is a 10-it's-your-own-risk event. Even if it was 5,000 capacity, it'd be the same thing, you know, so...
Do you where were we as far as I think there was some initial thought that we just kind of enter at your own risk and sell the tickets, but where did we come to kind of a compromise and the number that you came up with here?
Well, as I told my board, I can't sit here and look you in the eye and say that I'm going to consider safety first for our students, our faculty, our staff, and our community and allow 5,000 people to pile in that stadium. If we weren't in an area of, you know, high contagion. Read recently in Elmore County, I looked at a statistic the other day, for every 500 people you allow an event, six of them are going to be positive for this contagion. So you just multiply that by 2,200. You're looking, when you walk in that stadium, there's a high likelihood that you're going to have 30 to 40 people that are already positive for this. I'm a conservative person by nature, not scared, but just conservative. And so also, you know, it's my job to mitigate risk inside of our facilities. Some people just don't realize that. They think it's my right to wear a mask, or it's my right to come in or go wherever I want to because it's a free country. Yes, that is true. However, I'm the one that bears the responsibility and liability for these facilities.
And you could have, social distancing-wise, it would have been far less if you'd gone to complete social distancing.
Oh, definitely.
Which you did for graduation, and I think it was like for the home stands, it was like 700 people possibly could have made.
Six tickets per per graduate.
So... why not go all the way to that extreme? Was this a happy medium? I mean, how did you come up with the, well, let's just do this number?
Well, considering myself a logical person, a logical thinker, that's where I landed.
And I want to ask the question about this, because a lot of people tend to exaggerate. I've heard some numbers that you guys have given on how many people have attended games over the past decade or so. And Coach Battles was telling me on the phone yesterday that the most you can remember was 1,500. We've never sold more than 1,500 tickets to a game anyway. But I know that people expect this is going to be a huge shattering, you know, regardless of coronavirus. But what's the most that you recall since you've been the head football coach?
You know, I checked the gates on Monday. I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I think, you know, our biggest gate, I don't know the number. I can just tell you the money amount was about a $13,000 to $14,000 gate. And so, you know, we're looking, if we sell all 2,200, which I do not think is going to be an issue with
you don't think we
game,
will.
I think we'll sell everyone.
Oh, you think we will easily?
No,
okay,
I'm sorry,
I
didn't mean it. That I mean, I don't think it'll be an issue. I think they're going to be sold. We're looking at a $20,000 plus gate for both communities.
Yeah, and still a good gate. Yeah.
Yes, I mean
better than what we used to. Still,
it's going to be awesome. So, you know, I think the willingness of, you know, let's just be honest. The easy thing is let's just not do it. The hard thing is to put a plan together and to make it happen for our kids, our school system, their school system, everybody. I told everybody in our meeting that we had Friday, you know, I was very thankful that everybody has had a willingness to look at the situation that we're in and to put a plan together so that our kids can go out there and participate. And I'm not just talking about the football team. I'm talking about the cheerleaders, the band, all the people involved, and to put this thing on, look, it's already, you know, when you start talking about, and if you think about this, and I did last night, Tara and I were sitting there talking, I'm like, not only are we talking about a Tallahassee real-time game that hadn't been played in a long time, we're talking about doing it in the worst American educational tragedy in history.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I point that out. I think when you first talked about it, you said right game, wrong year, right?
Well, our folks have been willing to go above and beyond. I mean, willing, and I thank them all. I mean, above and beyond to make this thing happen. So, you know, it's been awesome. I'll be honest with you. I'm excited to be a Tallahassee Tiger. I like how things are going. You know, because the easy thing is to just, we're not going to.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
You're right.
And we're not, that's not us. That is not us.
How many years now for you, Chad, at the school, period?
This will be 14.
All right, so you've been doing gates for 14 years,
right.
Basically,
yeah.
13 seasons. What's the biggest crowd that you can remember that
we've
had?
The biggest gate probably would be less than 15,000. And like Mike said, you know,
15,000 money. And and of course, the ticket price has fluctuated from like $6 to $8 a ticket over time, $5, whatever.
I would say a big gate would be 10,000, 11,000. I mean, we haven't, to my knowledge, we haven't.
Dollars-wise, again. Yeah.
Again, yes. And so if we sell every ticket, that's over $17,000.
Is the biggest game that you can remember us having since you've been here, the game with Benjamin Russell, which was the first game in the expanded?
Yeah, the first game, yeah.
Yeah.
The first game I ever was.
Yeah. Over the past 14 years, basically.
Yeah.
And
that was it.
Do you remember what that number was about?
I can't remember. I think it was probably 12,000, something like that, 13,000.
And the ticket price was what, $5 a ticket?
Five or six.
So I'm doing quick math. How many people? How many people is that? It's not 5,000 people. It's not, you know what I mean? It's
right,
it's,
yeah.
It's again.
Right.
I mean, does anybody have any estimate of what you think we would have had if we had no coronavirus or we had just anybody come as they want? Do you think we talked about can we fill the stadium up, but could
I'll
we?
Tell you this,
do you have any clue?
Just talking with former players, people that have been in this community. Of course, I don't have any experience. August 20th is going to be my first one. they'll tell you we'll have as many people the place as the place will hold.
I know.
I mean, so, you know.
Well, and it's a Thursday night game where you can draw people from other games. But you're not going to have
coaches.
That option now because of the no seating, no tickets will be purchased at the gate. So let's kind of go over that, Brock. I think we should. You know, again, people have seen some of the information, I'm sure, but today is the first day that you can buy tickets if you had reserve tickets last year if you're a Tallahassee football fan.
Yeah,
so
that's where we landed on the ticket sales. You know, they have 1,100. We have 1,100. Now, when I say 1,100, that is tickets to be sold. there will obviously be more people in the stadium because I'm not taking into account our band members, our cheerleaders, you know, student participants. I'm not taking into account the four or five gentlemen and ladies that help the band,
yeah,
you know, get their instruments back and forth. There are going to be some coaches that come in with coaching cards, plus one. Our staff, you know, we got 188 staff members that they get in free. And so the capacity is going to actually be a little bit more than 2,200. You know, those are ones you just can't account for. So, you know, how do you do your ticket sales? One of the things AHSAA said, if you're doing a limited seating event, give preference to your student participants, your band members, your cheerleaders, your dance team members. And I'm all for that. You know, this game is for those kids that are prepared for this for the past summer. You know, it's a community event between communities that hasn't, you know, happened in years and years, and I perfectly understand that.
So those tickets are guaranteed to them to first right to buy first, right, anyway, and that that takes away from the number 1,100. Yeah, obviously, that's not over the top.
Starting today, all the student participants get four tickets they can sell to their family members. Those that obviously, you know, student may not use all four, they're going to turn them back in. Like for example, to Coach Battles, and Coach Battles will turn them back into Miss Hyde, and those will be put back into the general sales, which happen on the 17th.
That date is the one day, basically, unless they don't sell out, the, right, the general public will have an opportunity. Because the first week is, obviously right now, those participants that you're talking about are getting their first dibs at them. The reserve ticket holders from last year. Next right. week, those who, if there are any reserve tickets left, can come and purchase yeah, those. You, those are, there's to, another opportunity,
if
potentially.
If you want a guaranteed ticket, come buy your reserve seat next yeah. week.
Yes, right. If there are any left.
We never sell them out.
But don't you think this is the year you probably will?
I hope so.
there's one advantage right there, right?
$5 a seat guaranteed yeah. to our athletic.
To every one of them.
That's right.
As long as we yeah. got them. No refunds, though,
no
in case
refunds.
The season
come
doesn't
by.
Finish.
Yeah, come by, please.
But then the 17th, which is the week of the game, that Monday from 4 to 5:30 at the school.
That's right.
Is your last chance, and then –
yeah,
if some, for some reason they don't sell out then, which we can't imagine, but they could.
This conversation was totally moot then if they don't yeah. sell out.
Right.
And all the flack that I've gotten from yeah. you're not opening up the stadium to the 5,000, then it's going to be a total moot point.
How bad has it been? I mean, you say you've gotten flack,
not,
so.
You know, it's not been totally. I don't really pay attention to social media. I'm not on social media. So if you
good move, probably.
If you're going to blast me on there, I'm not going to see it. So, you know, anyway. You know, I've been charged with making decisions in this time, which, you know, name a time in education when somebody else has had to make more difficult decisions.
Well, you got these two guys to each side of you that are going to be in the school at the high school when the school year starts.
That's
are we
right.
still on? We were looking for August the 20th. I know kind of a split virtual and
yeah,
in classroom
setup. We're still on pass for that right now.
What did you get on your numbers as far as what the percentages
are? We're at 70-30, so we had 70% of our parents opted to come in that split, that virtual face option. 30% decided to go full virtual. A lot of systems, Eufaula City Thursday went all virtual. I was down there visiting some family, and one of my aunt, who's a teacher, walks up to me and says, "So they just made us go all virtual." And I've got a senior daughter, softball player, looking at, you know, signing a scholarship to play with CVCC, and I don't even know if she's going to have a softball season. And I'm like, you know, Aunt Donna, I don't know what to tell you. It's a terrible time for everybody. She said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Right now I'm bringing kids in." Now that could change next week. You know, I think a lot of superintendents, and I'm, you know, speaking for them, which I have no right to, they're waiting for some more guidance from the state. So we're on a path to come in on the 19th. It may change tomorrow. And I've said that from the start. This is really a day-to-day decision-making process. We have another task force meeting on Wednesday to assess where we are as far as, you know, Heather Johnson's really good about giving us information on the infection rate here in Elmore County. Coach Battles, he's really good about keeping up with his guys and letting me know what's going on with them. Right now, we're on a path to come in on the 19th.
Let me ask Chet, for instance, you're over the high school now as the principal. What's this classroom? What's this classroom going to look like? I mean, you're going to have fewer kids, so I guess you have hopefully
right.
fewer kids in a classroom as well. But what's that going to look like?
Well,
are you spreading them out?
Yeah, we're doing an A and B schedule, so you know we're only going to have probably about 200. Kids
right.
per day for the first 2.5 weeks. And so when you spread out 200 kids on that campus with all the classrooms and band and choir and the different buildings, I mean, it's going to be pretty sparse.
After the 2 weeks, though, what is it going to look like?
Well, it's going to be a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
I think we're doing a good thing with easing into it and kind of seeing, okay, here's where we're at. Can we handle if all of them come back together, are we going to be able to handle that? If so, what do we need to do? Look at the class sizes and see, you know, do we have too many in this class? What can we do about it? Could we move that class to the auditorium or whatever? You know, all those kind of things we've been thinking about and discussing. So, you know.
So, again, you don't make definitive statements because you know things could change at any time, right?
That's right. Any day. I was texting one of my superintendent friends this morning. His teachers are coming in today, and he said, tomorrow I'm pushing it back. I'm like pushing back my start date for my kids to the 19th. And I know why. They ordered 2,000 Chromebooks, and they're not here. There's a supply chain that everybody's dealing with for both PPE, cleaning supplies, and everybody trying to go virtual at once. We've been doing virtual learning for quite a few years here in Tallahassee in some form or fashion, mainly blended. You know, we're in the same state they are. A lot of our iPads that we've had ordered for months are in transit. I was talking to my Apple rep yesterday, and I said, can I go drive and get what we need? He said, not unless you have a plane and can fly to China.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I'm just jumping up and down that like a baby as our mayor. I've heard Johnny use that terminology dealing with people trying to get something done, and it's just a bad state for everybody that's trying to do the virtual learning.
I want to give just a few minutes here with Coach Battles to finish this up. I've talked to you since this thing broke out when you didn't get to really do your spring. We talked about, you know, we're going to get to play. I don't think one time I've asked you what the football season is going to be like for your team particularly, not just outside of what it might be like on the sidelines and stuff like that. I want to get a preview of the season. I got to actually write something for River Region Sports Media Guide here, but what are your expectations for this team? We hadn't even gotten into the football team yet.
You know, I'm very proud of our young men and the fact that, you know, it's like I told you when we were at the River Region thing, you know, this has been a day-to-day thing. The fact that our kids have kept a positive note, the fact that they've come to work every day, it's been tougher on the coaches because we all know what could happen. We've tried to, you know, just keep them moving forward. But, you know, those guys, that's why they're so wonderful, is because they come, like today, we get to go in shells. It's going to be football like we all remember football, like hitting and tackling and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're excited. I mean, I had to stop practice Friday. We were in helmets. I had to stop practice about 25 minutes earlier than I wanted to because we were out there hitting each other. You know, just I had to just say, hey, we're done. You know, they're excited. They're fired up. You know, it's been tough. I can't lie because you just, you know, you wake up every morning and you know how this thing is fluid. You know, all the things that the worst thing I do every morning, I don't know why I do it, is get up and look at all the tweets, all the things that's the worst thing you can do because most of them are negative, you know. And so, but, you know, our kids are ready. They've done an excellent job. They're prepared. I don't think not going through spring training, there will be no excuse. I'll just put it this way. There'll be no excuses on August the 20th. We'll either win the game or we'll lose the game, but it's not going to be because of the coronavirus. You understand? That's the point that we have made. Everybody has had the same amount of time and had to deal with the same amount of things, getting shut down, having to quarantine. You know, everybody's going to have to deal with that. So, you know, our biggest thing is no excuses. I mean, hey, y'all have been put in a lot of adversity. But you know what? That's the American way. We always come back. We always go to work. We always go do the things that we're supposed to do. We're not gonna sit around on August 21st and say, you know, oh, we should have done this. No, we're gonna just go do it. And that's how our kids are. And I believe in them. I've seen it. And so, you know, we're ready to go. I talked with Coach Johnson yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know, we're just excited to, you know, get out there and do this for our communities and really just to get back to a little bit of a level of normalcy.
There's that part of it. And then there's this schedule, regardless of all of the other things that people have been talking about and they're pumped up about. You got two teams to open up the season, 17 years since we played either one of them, both big rivals to us. Obviously, Realtown first, and then Wetumpka could open up their brand new stadium at their place the second week. So what? How about that? And then a new realignment and reclassification set up this year.
Well, Michael, I'm trying to think back the reasoning why I scheduled Realtown and Wetumpka back to back right off the bat.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was having
that rationale.
Yeah, I don't know if I was having a weak moment or whatever, but nah, they're two big games. And look, if there's ever been a year to have them, this is it. I mean, we need some excitement. We're going to open up Wetumpka Stadium. You know, and go in and, you know, Graham kind of, you know, he was like, oh, y'all going to get to play in the new stadium. You know, we got to do that at Hanley
yes.
3 years ago. And so, you know, it's if we need some excitement, this is the year. And we look forward to the schedule. You know, we like at Tallahassee now, you know, win or lose, we like playing good competition. And that's how we're always going to be. I think that is, you know, I think that's important year in and year out. And so, you know, I think our schedule is, if there's ever been a year to have one like we got, this is it.
And you said because of the uncertainty of the schedule that we are moving senior night up. So the plan is the second home game would be senior night. Is that what we're going to do?
The second home game, which will be, I believe, Sylacauga, which is really week four because we play Realtown, then we play Wetumpka, we're off.
Right.
The Labor Day week, Sylacauga, and then the next home game will be senior night for the band.
Okay.
And so, you know, I've already spoke Mr. Glasscock and kind of, you know, got that in motion because, you know, and hopefully we play 10 games and a 5-game playoff, but nobody knows. So we want to make sure and recognize the individuals that need recognized and, you know, do the best we can for our kids.
Homecoming, no change?
Not right now.
I almost have to keep that one, right? Hopefully it'll happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Your own son is a senior this year. You talked about how special that was for you as a player and having him now. I'm not going to make you cry again.
Don't even go there, Michael.
So you still hadn't really said much about the team. I looked at your lineup, kind of a projected starter list the other day, and this is one of the biggest offensive lines that I've seen, and they're pretty big on the defensive side, too. So talk about the guys up front. We don't really give them a lot of attention sometimes, but I think they deserve it. You got a 280 and a 300-pound tackle up there. That doesn't see that much, regardless of what your classification is, huh?
My first year here in 2012, we had guys like Jesse Rowland, Brock Hammock, Corbin, and guys like that. And I think outside of them, this may be the biggest. You know, we have offensive linemen that look like offensive linemen. In the past, we had offensive linemen that looked like other people's linebackers and, you know, DBs and stuff. But I think that, you know, this year we've got guys like Juwan McCurdy and all that. And, I mean, they look the part and look. The great thing about it is outside of Trace Meek, who Trace has been starting now for 2 years at center, outside of him, we got them all back another year.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be back. Our entire offense, outside of Thomas, actually, I'm thinking Thomas and Trace, they're all going to be back. I mean, every one of them, all the receivers, all the running backs, all the, you know, linemen. But, yes, they look, I mean, I get excited when I see them now. And they're those kind of kids that are yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But now I'm going to try to drive your son into the ground and just, you know, they're those kinds. So, you know, it's exciting. You know, we have guys that, you know, for the first time, you know, look the part and play the part. And we've always had tough kids. Dallas has always been tough. There ain't no doubt about it. But now we've got some that got a little bit of weight behind them, and they're doing a fine job. I'm excited on both sides of the ball. I mean, you like to, as a coach, walk into the offensive and defensive huddle and have to look up at the players.
Yeah.
You don't want to be looking eye to eye. I'm
5'10". That's right. Yeah.
You know, you don't want to look. You don't want to look eye to eye with. You want to look up. You got guys like Jordan May. I mean, Jordan's 6'3". I mean, he's just shot up. You know, guys like him, Michael Moore. You know, Brian Johnston. All of those individuals. You know, you like to look up at your players. That's always a good
thing. You also listed on your skill players, they're the athletes. I mean, you got some guys that are going to play on both sides of the ball in the secondary and that wide receiver. I mean, talk about some of those guys that are going to.
Man, Jalen Daniels. You know, Jalen, it seems like Jalen's been playing for about 7 years. You know, just we joke around because I've watched them come up. You know, yeah. He's played with Thomas all the way through TYFL and all the way up. Marciano Smith, you know, guys like that, Xavion Carr. I mean, if you saw Xavion now, we had a reporter out there the other day, and they're like, where did he come from? I'm like, no, that's Xavion. He's like, golly, he's grown, you know, a couple of inches and put on, you know, 10, 15 pounds. I mean, he's a potential, you know, college recruit type kid. But you have those guys that have come through the program, and they just know what to expect. And they're skilled players. It's like I tell them out there, hey, y'all been in the wars. Y'all know what it's going to take this first game. You know how, you know, conditioning-wise, all that. You know, they really become some good leaders. We have a guy out there that maybe didn't play last year. You'll know the last name, though. Washington?
Yes. Duke.
Good yeah. Bloodline.
Oh, no doubt.
Good bloodline. But, you know, and he's done a fine job. You know, he's come in. He's worked his way into, you know, doing the things, learning how we go about doing stuff. And tremendous athlete, obviously, you know. And I think Uncle DeMond, you know, y'all know who we're talking about. But, you know, these guys have done a good job. They've done a good job in the face of adversity. You know, we're going to expect a lot of them because they're going to have to play. You know, I tell them every day, guys, y'all know how it's going to be with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter if we're still around. If we got juice, we can win the ball game. If we don't, then, hey, nobody's going to have any excuses for us.
Right. So, you know, and also Mason Bell also moving to linebacker. This will be a change for him. He's been in the secondary, and how about that?
We'll have as good the four linebackers. They're going to be as fast as any we've had because Mason, you know, he was a good defensive back, and he has that kind of speed. But, buddy, you put him between them tackles, now him and Will Smith can fly. They're ball hunters. I mean, they can get to the football. Xavion at one outside linebacker. We've got two different other outside linebackers, Drake Bonner and Jacob Dantro over there on the other side. Both of them are learning to play the position. And, you know, hey, I mean, these guys are ready to go. I mean, we're about to the point, and I know this sounds crazy, but we are about to the point where we have practiced so much, it's time to play a game.
Yeah.
We won't get, you know, I say this, but eventually you get to a point where you don't get any better until you play.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that's where we are, and they're all working hard, and I promise you now they're ready to roll today. They are so tired of playing in helmets. That I look forward to it.
We didn't even mention the quarterback, but Tyler Ellis is coming back. He's still just a sophomore. Played last year, got experience at that position. Obviously, it's always big.
110% improvement. I mean, this is ninth grade. You know, he had to learn on the job training.
Yeah.
You know, and you could see if you watch week one of film and then you go to week five and then you go to week eight and so forth and so on, you can see the improvements that he made. He's 110% better than that right now. He has control of the offense. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. He's not concerned so much about his job as making sure everybody else is where they're supposed to be, and then he handles it. You know, it's just – it's nice when you have someone like that. That's why they – you know, that's why the guys make so much in the NFL. If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you're not going to win. No matter if you have the other 10 guys, you got to have this individual. And it's not so much just ability, it's just y'all get the job done. I'm going to handle mine. That, you know, a guy to lead, leader. And he's done a great job. He's stepped in, you know, he's 15, 16 years old, done a great job. And, you know, we have a lot of faith in him. Our team does. Our offense has a lot of faith in him. And that's what you got to have.
Well, we're looking forward to it. No, you are. You're already ready to go, and it's 17 more days.
Yes, it's a few more days, but we'll make it happen.
Thank y'all for being here, and I appreciate what you're doing. I know you're working hard to get us there, and we'll keep updating people on the progress as we move towards football and school starting. Good to see y'all. Thank you. Mike Battles, head football coach, Brock Nolan, acting superintendent. and Chet Stewart, the high school principal from Tattlesee, with us here on the Wake Up Call. More coming up, 7:30 on this Monday.